From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Governor J.B. Pritzker, in his first month in office more than 2 years ago, committed Illinois to the principles of the Paris Climate Accords. In an executive order, he also said Illinois should get all of its energy from clean and renewable sources by the year 2050. That means wind, solar, and arguably nuclear power, not coal, oil, or natural gas. The debate over how to achieve that goal has been going on ever since, delayed first by the bribery scandal in which electric utility ComEd acknowledged it attempted to influence former House Speaker Michael Madigan, who, we should add, has not himself been charged with a crime. Then, the pandemic derailed last year's legislative session, crowding out the opportunity once again. This year, however, there are at least six different pieces of clean energy legislation being debated in Springfield. Today, we're going to hear three perspectives from that debate. These interviews were taped for the next episode of the TV version of this program, The 21st at the Capitol. PBS viewers in Central Illinois can watch it this Friday at 7:30 p.m. after Washington Week. Listeners elsewhere can see it on the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel and Facebook page. But those of us here now are going to hear these conversations first. Later, we'll talk with a representative of the solar industry, plus a state senator who's backing a plan aimed at shoring up nuclear power plants in Illinois. They've become less profitable as the price of gas and oil have dropped, leading their owner to threaten to close the plants unless the state of Illinois helps subsidize them. But first, Jen Walling is the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Council. She joined me remotely from her office in downtown Springfield. I began with the basics by asking why Illinois needs to move toward cleaner energy production and how quickly it needs to get there.
All of this with our need for clean energy is centered around the climate crisis. We know that the climate crisis is not only hitting the United States, but it's uniquely hitting Illinois in a number of different ways, whether it's the increased costs to our infrastructure, whether it's increased flooding that impacts farm fields, whether it's the increase in the number of endangered species. We are having real economic, human, and public health impacts caused in Illinois by the climate crisis. Not to mention that some of these dirty energy facilities have been causing other pollution effects, whether it's metals or other toxic chemicals that have been impacting communities throughout Illinois during their entire life cycle. We need to transition to clean energy. We need to do it as quickly as possible, and we need to do it in a way that maximizes economic development and infrastructure.
So Illinois has this goal, Governor J.B. Pritzker has this goal of getting to 100% clean energy by the year 2050, I think it is. What would that look like for the average Illinoisan? What would that look like in their lives if Illinois is able to reach that goal, 100% clean energy by 2050?
Well, so for Illinoisans, that would mean that we would be transitioning over to mostly solar and wind power and some other sources of true, clean, renewable energy by 2050. And hopefully what it would mean for most of Illinoisans would be an improved quality of life. There are so many increases in energy technology that make people's lives better, whether it be more comfortable heating and cooling systems, new energy efficient appliances that only use energy when you need it, which can also mean decreased costs to consumers. I think that in the 1970s, the picture of renewable energy was everybody having to put a sweater on and shivering and freezing and not having their needs met. The new picture of renewable energy that we're looking at for Illinoisans is one where we are comfortable, we have new technology that meets our needs, and we're moving forward in a way that we are not impacting the climate crisis.
And I mean, are we talking about solar panels on everyone's houses, a windmill in every backyard, and electric cars in every garage and parking space? Or is this more of a something that has to be done collectively with more, you know, the big power production facilities that will become not coal burning, but instead, you know, getting their energy from the sun or the wind?
Absolutely. I think the way that this will impact an everyday Illinoisan will go from the technology that you are using, whether it be smart technology to use less energy at different times, to things like utility scale solar or wind programs in different places of the state, or individuals who have solar panels on their homes, electric vehicles in their cars, increased energy efficiency all the way through residential and commercial buildings. I think the impact in an Illinoisan's life will be from individual actions all the way to big commercial scale. So there are a lot of solutions that need to be involved here, and it'll be things that people see and impact them in positive ways.
The Illinois Environmental Council's proposal, the Clean Energy Jobs Act, it has equity as a key component. Can you talk more about what that means and what that focus would look like?
Sure. So we're part of the Illinois Clean Jobs Coalition, which is pushing the Clean Energy Jobs Act. And even more important than renewable energy or decarbonization or electrification in the transportation sector is our equity jobs and workforce provisions. We know that in Illinois, pollution facilities, especially those pollution facilities that are very large, are sited in Black and brown communities, low-income, middle-class Black and brown communities. If you look at maps, that's where these facilities end up for the vast majority. And despite that, those folks are still in a minority of the population, that's where we're putting our big, heavy polluting facilities. And so we need to make sure that we are centering these programs on racial equity, on economic equity. So we're looking at programs that make sure that we can diversify the workforce. Trades labor has needed to diversify its workforce. I know they're taking steps to do it, but making sure that people who are in unions and labor really have a diverse set of people involved, to contractors and people who own businesses. So our bill not only goes from the workers, but it looks at contractors, it looks at entrepreneurship. I mean, we have just disinvested in Black and brown communities through not providing the investment, through not providing the capital, to making sure that folks, just because of their color of their skin, didn't have access to loans. And so making sure that we really supplement some of those inequities is really important. But also, there are people in the state who have had more of a pollution burden, not only in those environmental justice communities, but anywhere that there might be a coal plant or natural gas plant. You're seeing communities that have been impacted in a disproportionate way by the pollution that has impacted their lungs and their public health. So making sure that we are looking at a transition in those communities as the coal plants close. And so, you know, we don't want what we had happen in 2019, which is a quarter of Illinois' coal plants closed. You'd think I'd be like, oh, I'm super excited that a quarter of Illinois' coal plants closed. But it really was done in such a way that the workers were given 30 or 60 days notice and were out of a job at Christmas time. And that is not the vision of what should happen. We need to have planned coal plant retirements. And we need to have protections for those small town Illinois communities that are going to be drastically impacted as the energy sector shifts.
I want to ask about some of the objections to the proposal, though, the Clean Energy Jobs Act. Ameren Illinois, which is the main utility, electric and gas utility for a lot of central and southern Illinois, argues that moving away from they have a two-pronged critique, I guess, moving away from the, capacity-based system we have could leave customers languishing in the heat or freezing in the cold, like happened in Texas. They also argue that the Clean Energy Jobs Act benefits Chicago customers at the expense of those downstate, in part by focusing on sort of individual smaller scale solar projects, rooftop and community solar, as they're known, as opposed to larger scale projects. How do you respond to those critiques?
Well, we are asked often how we're paying for the renewable energy, right? And our system really looks at capacity market reform, and that's what's different than the other bills that are out there. Capacity market reform in Illinois is incredibly important from the perspective of fossil fuel subsidies. When we look at Illinois, we're spending nearly $1.7 billion on capacity, which is more than any other state. And capacity is just having a power source exist. And so, you know, you compare us to Texas, and you brought up Texas, and Texas has an energy on-demand market. They pay nothing for capacity, and they also have no regulation. That is not where we want to go. But in Illinois consumers are paying 20 to 30% of their electricity bill on capacity, just having the plant exist, which means $1.7 billion for fossil fuel subsidies. The coal plant that is in Waukegan, in an environmental justice community that residents do not want there because of its pollution impacts, is not marketable. It only exists because we are paying capacity payments for it to be online. So we should be taking some of that $1.7 billion and using it towards sources of energy that are not emitting carbon, that are cleaner sources, that are located within the state. So that is a proposal that we have for how we pay for much of our renewable energy system, taking those subsidies for fossil fuels and moving them around. And it is an essential part of the bill, is this capacity market reform to remove these coal subsidies. So incredibly important. I also don't think, in terms of disadvantaging downstate, I don't think that's accurate. I think that in terms of the way that we put the bill together, there are folks from all over the state who are going to want distributed generation. When you look at things like community solar and the first round of community solar, only 15% of the projects were picked, and none of them were in Cook County. The vast majority of them were suburban or downstate areas. And I think you'll continue to see that in terms of the market effectiveness of utility scale solar. So I think that these benefits are really going to be absolutely going to be seen downstate just as much as in Chicago. I mean, it's much more expensive to site a utility scale solar project in Cook County than it would be in Macon County.
The last thing I want to ask you about, and we only have about a minute remaining in our conversation today, is nuclear power. Nuclear is Illinois is the leading state for nuclear energy by some measures. It is a key component of our current energy picture. And yet we have Exelon, one big nuclear generating company, seeking assistance from state government. And yet their sister company, ComEd, has been embroiled in this 2 years ongoing investigation where they've admitted trying to influence the former House Speaker. Can you talk about specifically the scandal aspect of this, what role that has played in the overall energy debate and getting some resolution to these issues that have been bubbling for a long time?
Mm-hmm. So I think both the ethics and the nuclear power issue, I think obviously the scandal that has been going on has set back clean energy, but I think that these scandals have been what have set back clean energy for decades. We have been prioritizing fossil fuel sources, whether it's we've ComEd and Exelon caught in doing something that was exceptionally bad, but we have a political system where fossil fuel companies are spending millions of dollars on campaign contributions overall. And so that has been something that has prioritized in the system, sources that emit carbon. But I do think that what Exelon and ComEd did was incredibly unethical. You know, just the connection to the sexual harassment scandal, the hiring, all of this was incredibly unethical. And we need to increase our ethical restrictions on energy companies. So that's why the new version of the Clean Energy Jobs Act has a number of pages about utility accountability. We really look at ending things like ratepayer-funded charitable contributions. We look at adding ethics restrictions to people who might be decision makers in terms of utilities. So I think that that portion is just as important. There is a formula rate where ComEd gets to increase its rates without any connection to its investment in the state. And we think that that needs to stop, and the rates need to be connected to their performance. So I think that that's a really incredibly important part of the Clean Energy Jobs Act that we've worked to add. And it's something that we've been an advocate of for a very long time. We need ethics. We need to look at corruption in these dirty energy companies.
We're going to have to leave it there. Jen Walling is Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Jen, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much.
Joining us now for another perspective on the energy debate is State Senator Mike Hastings. He's a Democrat from Frankfort in the south suburbs of Chicago and a lead sponsor of the Climate Union Jobs Act. Senator Hastings, thanks for joining us.
Brian, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be serving the people of Illinois and also serving as the chairman of the Energy Committee for the state.
So, Senator Hastings, one of the main focuses, or what would you say, foci of your legislation is maintaining the state's nuclear capacity and the union jobs that service those nuclear power stations. Can you talk about, just in a general way, can Illinois reach its clean energy goals without nuclear, in your view?
First of all, you know, Brian, my primary responsibility is to ensure the lights turn on for every Illinois resident across the state of Illinois. When that doesn't happen, we have big problems. And a lot of it comes down to reliability and ensuring that the grid is a highly performing grid and that we don't fall prey or succumb to some of the issues that we've seen across the country, whether that's the rolling blackouts in LA and California, or as a result of violent weather in Texas. I think we've seen what can happen when the energy doesn't work the way it's supposed to. But I sponsored the Climate Jobs Illinois bill, which focuses on investing not only in our nuclear fleet, but our clean energy future in Illinois.
State Senator Mike Hastings, we need to take a break for our member stations. The conclusion of my televised conversation with people involved in the energy debate in Springfield. It's from the latest episode of the 21st at the Capitol, which you can see this Friday evening, 7:30 on PBS in Central Illinois or on YouTube and Facebook everywhere else. That conversation will continue after a break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by AARP Illinois, dedicated to working in Illinois to ensure all Illinois residents are empowered to live no matter what age, color of skin, or zip code. More at disruptdisparitiesil.com.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're beginning today's show with a trio of interviews on the clean energy debate in Springfield. These were taped for a television version of our radio program. It's called The 21st at the Capitol. You can watch this episode this Friday evening on PBS station WILL. And for listeners outside of Central Illinois, it'll also be on the Illinois Public Media YouTube and Facebook pages. Earlier, we heard from Jen Walling, director of the Illinois Environmental Council, and later we'll hear from a spokesman for the Path to 100, another green energy plan under consideration in Springfield. But now we'll continue my conversation with State Senator Mike Hastings. He's a Democrat from Frankfort and lead sponsor of the Climate Union Jobs Act. Here's the conclusion of our conversation.
We just heard from a member of the Clean Jobs Coalition, not to be confused with Climate Jobs Illinois, which is backing your proposal. Can you talk about how your legislation is different and, in your view, I presume, better than the clean energy jobs legislation?
Well, I don't necessarily think my bill is better than any other piece of legislation. What I will say is that the points in the legislation that are in there are part of a foundation that I think we can build upon. All of the bills that are submitted, and there's six substantial bills that deal with investing in Illinois' clean energy future. I do believe that there's merits in each one of those that can be compiled into what I consider an omnibus bill. But I will tell you that there are some key points that I will advocate for, and they're for good reason. Number one is preserving our nuclear fleet and additional renewable generation is essential. Because when two nuclear plants close, and potentially four could close based on some of the announcements from Exelon, the economic impact that creates for the state in a negative stance is not what we need when we're coming off a COVID pandemic. Number one, people need to get put back to work. These jobs employ thousands and thousands of hardworking, trained, skilled union members and non-union members at the same time. And so it's important that we preserve those jobs. The economic impact that these plants have, if you look at Byron alone, that plant powers 2 million homes. The economic impact from tax revenues, sales tax, from people coming and going, working at the plant, is in the millions and millions of dollars. And when you look at the aggregate total of these plants, the economic impact is in the billions of dollars. That is what we do not need in the state of Illinois. We need to make sure that we preserve our nuclear fleet and that we also invest in additional renewable generation so it can create those jobs. That's one major provision of it. And for our folks that have coal plants across the state of Illinois, you know, coal plants are shutting down for economic reasons, not because the state is pushing a regulation on them to say you have to close. However, there are some proposals out there that do suggest that. But I will say that part of my plan is to create what they call a just transition. How do we invest in clean energy while utilizing the plant itself that's being shut down? I want to make sure that the workers of those plants are retrained. I want to make sure the property tax base at those plants is preserved. and it's transitioned so that when you shut down a plant, it just doesn't close the town. Because again, we're coming off a pandemic and we want to make sure that these towns, some of them are small towns, we want to make sure that they're able to maintain a normal course of business and that they're able to incentivize other businesses to come to their towns.
How do you respond to people who say that this is, you know, it's one thing to say you want to preserve the jobs and preserve the clean energy generated by the plants, but it's another thing to line Exelon shareholders' pockets. And that's not what Illinois needs to be doing, especially after the same company was before the legislature just a few short years ago, seeking assistance at that time and getting it at that time.
I'm going to tell you that that is not the intent whatsoever. And anyone who says that this is a General Assembly way of lining some corporate barons' pockets is a bunch of garbage. I'm going to be very strong when I say that, because when I presented the Clean Union or the Climate Union Jobs Act before my committee, the Illinois State Senate Energy Committee, I said a few different things. Number one is that these hard workers at these nuclear plants and other plants across the state of Illinois, they have a passion for what they do. It's in their blood, and at times that it's passed down from generation to generation. They come from every walk of life. They love their profession. They love the communities and what they work for. But I made this very, very explicit. Their passion, their hard work and profession will not and should not be overshadowed by a dark cloud cast over by a greedy few. So when we pass this legislation, it will be balanced. And it's not going to agree. It's not going to line anyone's pockets for that matter. And we're going to hold people accountable for their bad actions. That's my goal as the chairman of the Senate Energy Committee. And that's what the people of Illinois deserve.
We have been talking with State Senator Mike Hastings. He's a Democrat from Frankfort. Senator Hastings, thank you for your time.
Brian, God bless you and your family. And I hope everyone watching is happy and most importantly, healthy.
Joining us now for another perspective on the energy debate is Jonathan Feipel. He is a spokesman for the Path to 100, another of the clean energy proposals under consideration in Springfield. He's also a former executive director of state government's utility regulator, the Illinois Commerce Commission, and he joins us now from his residence in Springfield. Jonathan, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks much, Brian, for having me. It's great.
So former Governor J.B. Pritzker, as you know, and as we've talked about on this program, has committed Illinois to having 100% renewable energy by the year 2050. We're supposed to be a quarter of the way there by the year 2025. How are we doing on that?
You know, and it's a great question. And it's one that dates back to the, you know, origin story of the Illinois RPS back to 2007. Given a whole slew of different problems and hitches with the law and implementation, we never really got to developing our renewable base here in the state, right? We used to pull renewable credits from around us, from other states. And that's what the Future Energy Jobs Act that kicked in about 5 years ago really did a great overall policy shift to make sure that we were focusing on building new projects here in the state. What we're able to do in that five-year period there, and think about it as one series of programs, right? Because it took our Illinois Power Agency some time to get all the new mandates in place. We jumped from about 3% in-state renewables to about over 8% in that one series of programs. The trouble is, if you think about it on the back end, what we did was we crammed 10 years of pent-up demand for renewables into that one series of programs. So now we're out of money. So at this point in time, given the budget constraints, Illinois is going to flatline out there at about 8% renewables for 5 years or so, and then we'll have this kind of boom-bust, lumpy development cycle going forward. We'll never really get to those bigger, lofty goals. And that's what the Path to 100 Act is really designed to do by the renewable industry to get us back on track to be able to meet those kind of targets.
And some people have referred to this as the solar cliff briefly. Can you talk about what that means in terms of jobs and the development of the renewable industry sector in Illinois?
You know, that term has really caught on. What we were talking about was, if you think about the kind of the canary in the coal mine for the renewable industry, right, is the women and men who work in the solar industry in particular, the smaller the company, the more susceptible they are to layoffs and bankruptcy and the like. And we'd been projecting out 2 years ago when we introduced the legislation that there at the end of 2020 was when the last dollar was going to be available for new development. And that got tagged as the, quote, solar cliff, because at that point in time, you're going to move past the point where a budget could function. And that's when there's real hardship. If you think about, we built up about 5,500 jobs in the solar industry up to the end of 2019. And we lost about 3,500 in the last year, given the budget crisis, exacerbated by COVID, certainly. But the budget is the real driver there, as the cliff has kicked in now.
And I'm afraid our time is short. So briefly, what is the vision of the future of the Path to 100, as the group is called, in terms of, because there has been criticism that some of the past developments and that it focused too much on what's called rooftop or community solar, as opposed to, you know, bigger, more centralized energy projects. Where does your group see the future of clean energy development with regard to solar and wind in Illinois going forward?
It's a great question, because it's really important to note that what we need to have in the state is a balanced mix of all of the different project types. Yes, you need big utility scale wind and solar projects. We absolutely support those in our bill. But you also have to have community solar and rooftop solar to provide those direct customer benefits, right? You put solar panels on your rooftop, you save money on your bill every month. If you don't have access to your own rooftop, you can subscribe to a community solar project, again, for direct bill savings. And what we find, and we're going to be releasing some reports here in the near future that show that actually, if you maintain that mix of direct overall bill savings through community solar, rooftop solar, all of the big utility scale projects for overall price reductions to energy market prices, all of these renewables, in essence, pay for themselves when you combine up all of those benefits. And there's actually net savings to all customers in Illinois.
My final question to you is more of a sort of a big picture philosophy question. I got to imagine some people are listening to this and saying, why not just let the market handle power? And why is it important in your view, in your group's view, to have the government, you know, put its thumb on the scale of how Illinois sources its energy?
And actually, what we're trying to do is have the market, in essence, drive a lot of this discussion around renewable energy. The key is, though, is that for 100 years, we've never really had any way to value the clean energy benefits of renewable energy. For example, you know, when a coal plant emits all of the different pollution types, the healthcare benefit, you know, the healthcare problems that result, the dirtiness that has to get cleaned up in other ways, polluted water and all that. Renewables don't have any of those problems. We need to find a way to value that piece. And that's what the overall government policy is set to do.
We've been talking with Jonathan Feipel. He's a spokesperson for the Path to 100. Which is one of the multiple energy groups making their voices heard in the General Assembly this spring. Jonathan, thanks for being with us today on the 21st.
Thanks. This was great.
And that's it, the second television broadcast of our radio program. You can see the full half-hour episode of the 21st at the Capitol this Friday on YouTube, Facebook, or the PBS video app. And if you happen to live in Central Illinois, on PBS station WILL.